Good evening. You can be opening your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at some more verses from there, centrally from there, this evening. I have appreciated so much being with you for these last few days. It has been a blessing. I hope the young people have been benefited by it. It has been a blessing to get to know them, and I hope that I get to see them in the future. We would be glad if all of you will enroll in college in a few years. And if you all do that, I might get a raise. But tied our tuition to enrollment, or tied our salary to enrollment. It has been good to be with Jeff and Amanda. They have been very kind. I have enjoyed talking with him a great deal about the Bible, about the Old Testament, and you all are blessed to have him and have them, as I know that you are well aware of. And it has been a blessing in the short time I have been here to be around people that I was in college with, like at Jimmy McDonald's house yesterday and with Scott and Susie Powell today, and to see so many that I have known either in school or in other places or had as students in school. But always, always, when you say a couple of things in a circumstance like this, it is inadequate. But our goal is what we just sang about. Our goal is when we all get to heaven, and when we get to heaven, and when we glorify God and enjoy Him forever, we will have plenty of time to share our words of appreciation about one another as well. May God bring you and me safely there. This week, we have studied a lot. As I sat to think about it this afternoon, we've gone through quite a few subjects. We dealt this morning with the idea of the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. And we must choose the fear of the Lord. We must choose it. Some reject it, but you must seek for it and search it with all your heart. Search for it with all your heart. We talked about the fear of the Lord. We talked about the subject of young people respecting your parents. And the book of Proverbs is written as a father would write to his son, begging with his son, pleading with his son to do the right thing, to walk in the right path, to follow the right way. And yesterday we talked directly about the problem of sexual immorality. As the father warns the son about avoiding the adulterous woman, and it continually emphasizes that if you fall to that adulterous woman, it will lead to death, it will lead to destruction. Yesterday we talked a little bit about the problem of suffering as the book of Job introduces it. Satan wants to use our trials to get us to curse God and die. God is seeking to use our trials to strengthen us, to build us up, to teach us lessons that we wouldn't learn any other way. Our trials can make us bitter, or our trials can ultimately make us better. But again, the choice is ours. Jeff talked yesterday about the book of Ecclesiastes and how death cast its shadow over all of that book and negates what seemed to be meaningful pursuits in life. Yes, wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness, but as it happens to the fool, so it happens to the wise. All men die. How are we going to respond to that? How are we going to respond to that news? And yesterday, Stephen and Jeff talked some about the subject of money. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first of all your produce, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. The Bible says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. In Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Give me neither poverty nor riches in Proverbs chapter 30. We have talked about a multitude of subjects this week, young people. But whether you are young or whether you're older, whether it be these subjects or whether it is others, all of us are called to make a decision. All of us are at the crossroads, and we must decide whether we will listen to God or whether we will not listen to God. We're going to point out those two ways this evening and hopefully encourage you to choose the way which is right and to choose the way which is good. Briefly, let's look into Proverbs chapter 4 and make a couple of statements about these words. In Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 10, "Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life." He is begging the children to listen to what I'm saying. And he applies one subject specifically that we didn't touch upon a moment ago. And that is telling us to avoid evil companionship. In verse 14, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it, do not pass by it, turn away from it, and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." And I want you to notice the contrast in verses 18 and 19. This contrast that appears so frequently in the book of Proverbs and appears so frequently in wisdom literature, that there are two roads to take. There are two paths that we can choose. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble." So he presents to us an alternative. The path of the righteous is contrasted with the way of the wicked. And there is not only a contrast between these paths, but there is a contrast in where these paths lead. The path of the righteous, the text tells us, is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until a full day arises. In contrast, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. The way of the righteous is light. Young people, if you listen to these things that we have stated this weekend about avoiding sexual immorality, about walking in the ways of the Lord positively, I can't guarantee that you'll always be popular at school, but I can guarantee that your path will become brighter and brighter along life's ways. And if you choose to disregard this, to disregard what has been said, and you would choose to disobey your parents and to be rebellious and to be disobedient, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. They don't even know which way they're going. Have you ever been in a circumstance where there is total darkness and you could not see the hand in front of your eyes? The way of the wicked is like that. The way of the righteous, on the other hand, is like the light of dawn. How sad that some choose darkness over light, as John 3 states. We could look at the rest of Proverbs 4. One of the things that interests me in the rest of this chapter is you notice how every part of our body is called upon to be careful, to be diligent, to walk in God's way. Our heart in verse 23, our mouths in verse 24, our mouths and lips, our eyes in verse 25, our feet in verse 26, our foot in verse 27. But every ounce of our being, every fiber of our being must turn away from wrong and must do right. And we could look also at other things in Proverbs 10:1 through 22:16. This section of 375 Proverbs that Solomon gives that often contrast the righteous with the wicked. We could show the different destinies that belong to these two groups, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3, as an illustration, the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. The way of righteousness is the way of blessing. The way of listening to God, the way of wisdom, is a way of blessing. The way of disobedience to God and disregard of His Word is the way of darkness. It is the way of destruction. It is the way of everything that is evil. I love the way this is brought out in a passage in Proverbs chapter 9. And I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to this passage. So many similarities in these sections. So many similarities. Lady Wisdom is making her appeal. And Lady Folly is making her appeal. These two roads, these two ways, these two paths are strongly contrasted in this particular chapter. I want you to notice some of the similarities are in verse 4 and verse 16. They are both making appeals to the same audience. Both of these ladies are making their appeals to whoever is naive. And they are begging those that are naive to follow their path. Whether it be Lady Wisdom, whether it be Lady Folly, both of them are appealing to the same group of people. Let's begin in Proverbs 9, 1 through 6, and then let's read verses 13 through 18. In 9, 1 through 6, Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him come in. Let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food, drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. You notice that Lady Wisdom is making this appeal. She is inviting the naive to enjoy her banquet, to eat at her table. In verse 3, she calls from the tops of the heights of the city. A similar statement is going to be made in verse 14 about Lady Folly. She sat by the gate of the high place. Some writers have pointed out that in the ancient Near East, the highest point of a city would have been its temple. And so to call out from the heights of the city would be to call out from the temple. And since this is Lady Wisdom in verses 1 through 6, ultimately this appeal is not just of the appeal of wisdom, but this is an appeal that comes from God. As God is seeking to woo us and call us to do what's right, to follow in His path. Just as in verse 14, the path that is being encouraged is being encouraged by an idol, by a false god, as He is encouraging to walk in the destructive path of verse 14. But the point of verse 6, forsake your folly and live. Let's look at verse 13. The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he does not know the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. There's some similarities between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. Both cry out from their respective temples. Both cry out to the naive to listen. But there's some stark contrast as well. God and wisdom are calling to you, and they're calling to me, forsake your folly. Forsake your folly. Turn from your wrong. Is there wrong in your life tonight? Have you been giving in to sin that even those around you may not be aware of? Wisdom is calling to you tonight. Forsake your folly. On the other hand, Lady Folly is calling to you. And Lady Folly is saying, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. There's an excitement, there's an adventure, there is a thrill about sin. There's a thrill about doing something that is forbidden. Augustine stated, when he was a young man, that he used to steal pears, and he said the pears weren't particularly good, but he said, I was thrilled by the fact that we weren't supposed to be taking them, that we knew we weren't supposed to be taking them, and they gave us excitement. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17, bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, and afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. There is an excitement, there is an adventure to sin, but there's a bitter aftertaste to sin. That was Proverbs 27. Bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. It's like we said yesterday about the adulteress. Her lips drip oil, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. There is an excitement, there is an adventure to doing something that is forbidden. That is what folly holds out. But I want you to notice the contrast between these ways. In verse 6, if you forsake your folly, you will live. Forsake your folly and live. Listen to the voice of wisdom and live. Surrender yourself to God and you will live. Take the advice of folly that stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Do you recognize the company that you're in when you do that? In verse 18, the Bible says, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. This passage is calling on us in the strongest of possible terms to choose right and to forsake wrong, to forsake our folly and live, not to listen to the foolish appeal of the woman saying that bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And this passage is calling on all of us who listen to turn away from evil, to turn away from foolishness, to walk in wisdom, to walk with God, to do what's right. And I want you to see something else this context says. In Proverbs 9, verse 12, a passage that is powerful, I think, says, if you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. You alone will bear it. One of the things I tried to stress this morning in Bible class is that our actions have an impact on others. Our actions have such an impact on others that sometimes we, if we do the wrong thing, might cause completely innocent people to suffer. The appeal in Proverbs 1 in verse 11 is, let us lie in wait, let us ambush innocent blood. Proverbs 6:17 talks about hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs 13:23, injustice is in the fallow ground of the poor. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but injustice sweeps it away. The point is, by one's foolishness and wickedness, they can cause great grief to others who have no connection with them. You can particularly cause great grief and great anxiety to your parents by your actions. In Proverbs 10, verse 1, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Your parents are going to be there celebrating every victory that you have, brokenhearted at every disappointment you experience. Yes, our actions impact others, but with all of that being said, let's get back to the point of Proverbs 9 and verse 12. Proverbs 9 verse 12 tells us that the one who is going to be blessed the most by our decision to pursue wisdom is the person who makes that decision. The person who is going to be hurt most by the decision to pursue folly is the person who makes that decision. Yes, all our lives impact others. And yet at the same time, each man's journey through life is a solitary journey. And if you listen tonight, or you read the book of Proverbs through this week, and you listen to other lessons throughout your life, and you decide, I'm going to do what's right, nobody will reap the benefits of that like you will. But if you choose to disregard what God has said, no one will experience the consequences of it like you will. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you alone will bear it. That is a decision that each person must make for himself. What we've been talking about from Proverbs and from wisdom literature is really all throughout the Bible. That there are two roads. There are two ways. There are two paths. Some of the passages where you see it most clearly are in a passage like Deuteronomy 30. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, Moses had begun enumerating the blessings of the covenant. If you are faithful to me, I'm going to bless you. And he speaks of what those blessings would be. And he said, if you are unfaithful and you are disobedient, you're going to be cursed. And he spells out what those curses are. We look at the blessings and they're beautiful. We look at the curses and they are horrific. Who in their right mind would choose cursing over blessing? Who in their right mind would choose that path? But Moses calls them in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. In verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him. He said, I have laid out to you the blessings which will follow upon obedience. I have laid out to you the curses which will follow upon disobedience. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. He appeals to these people. The book of Proverbs is telling us the same thing in different language, in different terminology. But it tells us there is a way of the foolish which leads to destruction, and the way of the wise which is a continually increasingly brighter path. And we must choose life. Jesus taught us the same thing in Matthew 7 in verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few that find it. Jesus is setting before the people the way of life and the way of death. The way of blessing and the way of cursing. Enter the straight gate. For straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life. And broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. This is talked about all through Scripture, as we can see illustrated in Paul contrasting the work of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. But the point is, he is setting before us in starkest terms the choice between wisdom, the choice of foolishness. The choice between serving the true God and serving idols. The choice of sexual purity or sexual immorality. The choice of God, the choice of Satan, or the choice of heaven and the choice of hell. Moses would beg us, choose life. Jesus would say, enter through the narrow gate. The writer of Proverbs would say, the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The way of the righteous is an ever brighter path. Which way are you choosing? A man who had two sons. The youngest son came to his father and asked for the portion, the inheritance that he was going to get. His father gave it to him. And that young son went to a faraway country, probably trying to get as far away from his father as he possibly could. To run as far away from his eye as he could get. And in that country, he spends all his father's inheritance on riotous living. There's a famine in the country. He is in great need. He is desperately in need of something to do in order to find a job to feed himself. And he's finally able to get a job. He's able to get a job feeding swine. He's a Jewish boy of a Jewish home. And swine are unclean animals, according to Leviticus 11. He couldn't imagine working with these unclean creatures. And now he's not only feeding them, but he wishes he ate as well as they did. He wishes he could eat some of the things that they were eating. As he has reached rock bottom, it finally helps him come to his senses. And he wakes up and he says to himself, "My father's hired servants have more than enough to eat, and I'm perishing." And he resolves he's not going to follow the broad gate anymore. He's not going to choose the way to destruction. He's not going to walk the way of fools. He said, "I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say to my father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants.'" I can imagine as he was preparing to go back to his father's house, he probably prepared this speech and he got down every word in just the right inflection as to how he wanted to say it. And he goes back home, and as he goes back home thinking of his speech to his father, the Bible says his father saw him while he was a long way off and he ran to him. It wasn't dignified in that day and time for an older man to run. But this man doesn't care about dignity. His son is coming back home. He runs to him. He embraces him. And the son starts this speech that he's practiced so many times. "Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your servants." And the father says to that request, "No." Actually, he does say no. He says, "I'm not receiving you back as a servant. I'm receiving you back as a son." Put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. For this son of mine was lost and is found. He was dead and he has started to live. Maybe you have been on the wrong path for a long time. The Father is still waiting for you to come back home. And if you make a step toward him, he will run to greet you and embrace you and receive you back with the full rights of sonship. We invite you to follow the right path, to follow the right way. If you've never been baptized into Christ, to repent of your sins, to be baptized for remission of sins, if you've done that and you've wandered away, we invite you to acknowledge your sins, to ask for the prayers of others here, and they would be glad to pray with you and for you. Choose life.